Are you ready?
Yes, indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of AMP Radio. My name is Proteus. I will be your host for the evening. We, this evening, are doing what we like to call This Week in MMA, since there ain't shit going on this week, as our boys at the CME like to say. Welcome back. Welcome to a new year of MMA. Ladies and gentlemen, happy new year. Welcome to the year of 2019. This show, of course, we are going to kind of put a bow on the year that was of 2018, ladies and gentlemen, since we don't have a card to talk about this week, as I mentioned at the top. And I'm not joined by the usual cast of characters, but we're down one man. But that's okay. We're going to roll on anyways. Everybody has been sent the show notes, and hopefully they are prepared. So let's go ahead and get into this right now and start bringing in the hosts. I'm going to bring in, first of all, the life of the party. If you don't know her and you don't love her, you will. Just as I mentioned, not only the life of the party, but the first lady of AMP Radio. Let's bring her in right now, DJ Tony. Pam from North Carolina.
Hi, guys. Hey, don't hate me, but I'm babysitting right now. I've got a bird on my shoulder, and I'm trying to keep him quiet, but he keeps throwing in a couple of chirps in there, just like that. So, what's up, guys?
What is happening? Happy New Year to you, Pammy.
Happy New Year and Merry Christmas and all that other good stuff that happened in the year.
Yeah. We went through that last time we talked.
Ouch. Oh, that's right.
So no worries. No worries.
Everybody say hi to Cedric. Pam. Say hi to Cedric.
What's up, Cedric?
Maybe he'll say something back. He's just being weird. He's so weird. I mean, seriously,
so Pammy,
he hates me, but he's sitting right here next to me on my shoulder.
Well, you know, what are you going to do? Sometimes you get a little love from those that that hate you,
a
apparently.
Baby dinosaur.
So, Pammy, real quickly, before we bring in the next host, any resolutions for this year that we need to know about?
You know, I think that I want to really try and get back to my old workout schedules that I used to do. I mean, I used to be really adamant about working out and doing my yoga and stuff like that. So I'm really going to try to do, I don't get into the, I'm going to lose weight and all that other bullshit because I like my chocolate too much. But I just want to, you know, start working out like I used to. How about that?
I hear you. I'd like to be working out like I used to as well. So that makes two of us. All right, Pammy, let's go ahead and bring in the big boss man himself, the original B-boy. It's Tony time.
Where are you going?
Hey, DJ, yes.
It's Tony time, bitches. Proteus, we started this thing in 2017, I believe. We are technically going into our third year, Pro. Our third
that's
year.
Right.
So that's crazy. Shout out to us.
Yeah, as of May of this year, we will be officially in year number three. I hear what you're saying. Yeah, it's been great, man. It's been a long road, and I'm sure when that show comes around back in May, we will hop on each other's dicks for a little bit and celebrate ourselves. But that's not what we're here to do tonight, DJ Tony. I'm going to ask you the same question. Any resolutions for this year for yourself, big man?
Well, you and I kind of ruined it because we always do the show before the show every single time you guys we chat. But, you know, we're working on doing some cycling jerseys, some T-shirts for this year, and, of course, maybe a cycling team, an AMP Radio cycling team. One of the names that I thought up, of course, was White Belt, which you and I happen to have. So my resolution is to finally take the rest of my jiu-jitsu classes so my white belt continues to be an eggshell colored. But that's my New Year's resolution, to finally pick up some of the BJJ classes.
Right on, right on. And I wasn't sure we were going to announce the exciting things that we have coming up, but I've had a look at some of the stuff that Tony has planned for this year, and it's looking fantastic. So just stay tuned for that, ladies and gentlemen. All right, guys, we've already introduced me. Of course, we're down Marco today. I don't know what happened with Marco, but we didn't hear back from him. So let me bring you guys up to speed from the last Smack My Picks Up that we did. I'm going to update you now because it has been a little while, a couple of weeks since we did do that. UFC 232, of course, was the last card that we did a Smack My Picks Up on. And I think next week, when we do a Smack My Picks Up on next Thursday, we'll do a little recap, a little MMA or a little AMP Radio rewind on that card, because next week's card isn't looking overly great. And if from what I hear, we've lost two fights already, so not looking great for next week's card. So let me bring you guys up to date on UFC 232. Of course, that was John Jones versus Alexander Gustafsson. And your boy, Proteus, pulling down the win again. I can't believe it. For the first time in the new year, Proteus getting the win. Tony, you and I mean, it came neck and neck down to actually everybody was neck and neck. You, myself, and Pam Marco had a bad week. But we both, Tony, got the Jones-Gustafsson fight exactly correct. And the only thing that put me over the top.
Have I been wrong yet?
The only thing that put me over the top was our spotlight fights of the night. And Pammy, you and I were the only ones that got that one correct. And of course, got to give props out to Pam because she got that Amanda Nunes pick correctly. She got the TKO and she picked Nunes, but didn't get the round correct. So great job, Pam. Great job, Pam.
Bow down. How good was that? That was crazy.
It was good. But let's save that for later. As I said, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do a little bit of recap on the year that was 2018. You know, it did bring an end to the Fox era. We are now into the ESPN/ESPN Plus era. So, my first question, guys, is what are your thoughts on the Fox era? Did the Fox era help the sport? Did it hinder the sport? We had a lot of problems finding fights. We had to go from Big Fox or FS1 to FS2. So, Pammy, being as you are in the States and you have some of these problems trying to chase down the fights, what were your thoughts on the Fox era? And give us your recap on the year.
Okay. Well, truthfully, let me swallow my peanut butter cup. I liked the Fox era. I liked it a lot. And it was usually, I mean, pretty easy to do because you went to FS1 and then switched to Fox, you know, Fox Sports to watch the fight. So it was easy to do. And truth be told, man, I miss it because the one thing that I do in the morning, part of my ritual, is I go to FS1 and I'm watching / listening to fights while I'm getting ready for work. Or if I'm, you know, if I want to kind of just sleep in, turn on FS1 and I'll watch a fight, like / listen to a fight. So, man, I missed it. And I did like it. I liked it. I liked the commentary. I missed the post-fight show. I liked Fox. I think it was pretty cool.
So, Tony, kind of the same question to you. You know, what were your thoughts on the Fox era? And, you know, Pam brings up the fact that, you know, she found it kind of really easy to flip back and forth between, you know, Big Fox, Fox Sports 1, and Fox Sports 2. But as we know, Tony, down there in the States, you have to have another package in order to have that Fox Sports 1 / Fox Sports 2 combo. Did you have any problem with that in the whole time of the Fox era? And of course, we had, you know, other sporting events preempting the UFC. If they went long, you'd have to go to all the way down to Fox Sports 2 to find it. And, of course, if you didn't pay for that channel, you weren't watching any of the fights. What were your thoughts, Tony?
I actually have a different completely point of view than Pam, because as you know, I was very vocal about not being able to find fights about, you know, all of a sudden you have to have the Fox Sports One app because FS2 and FS1 isn't showing it. And God forbid any of those interrupted any sort of, you know, NASCAR stuff, because that always became an issue. And I've never watched a soccer show, a soccer match or whatever you want to call it in my life, but somehow I always got a portion of it every single time I was at FS1 or FS2. So I had a hard time watching it, just finding stuff. Then the FXX, if you remember that, and some of the other stuff. So I, like Pam, love the cast, especially Karen Bryant, which I'm glad she's moving over. I'm not sure who's moving over exactly, with the exception of we know that Bisping, I believe, Karen Bryant and Joseph Benavidez, his wife, have moved over. I don't know if DC or any of the others have. So, but I certainly enjoyed the pre and post. I thought overall the presentation was fantastic, but just trying to find it, Proteus, to me, was a major issue.
Okay, so as you guys know, I'm not in the same country as you guys, so it wasn't really an issue for me within the Fox era finding shows. Of course, they did have a tiered system up here as well. As you guys know, or if you don't know, the fights up here have been on basically ESPN Canada for a number of years. And, of course, I don't know if you know, but the UFC did re-up with TSN up here in Canada when they were in Toronto for the Max Holloway's last fight. So good news for us that everything's staying in that particular area. Of course, the lower end fights were either on Fight Pass or you had to go to the Fight Network, which it was an extra cost to the consumer up here as well. And of course, if you TSN has a number of channels just like ESPN does down there. And to be honest with you, I never really had a problem finding it. Anytime I was watching a fight over at a friend's house, we were able to find the fights on, you know, a lower TSN channel. So it didn't really cause too many problems. Now, I have another question for you, Tony, and I'm going to go straight back to you, because one thing that I did find was a problem with the Fox Sports era, and probably we're going to find again with the ESPN era, and we'll get into ESPN and ESPN Plus in just a minute before, after we wrap up Fox Sports. But let me ask you a question, Tony, because I found 2018 a very trying year for me, especially as an MMA fan. There was just so much all the time, so many fights. And my question basically is, do you think it's good for the UFC to be beholden to, you know, a big media conglomeration like Fox Sports or ESPN, and the fact that they have to provide so much content every year?
Well, unfortunately, that's going to be part of it, right? It is going to be part of, because they're on a contract, they're contractually obligated to have X amount of shows every single year. There's already oversaturation to begin with in the sport. But to me, it's still that issue, and whether or not the mainstream fans or the casual fans are going to be able to embrace this sport, because everyone thinks of it as a very barbaric type of thing. And heck, are they going to be beholden? Absolutely. Is it going to change and make the sport more popular? It will, but I mean, we're going to get into it in a little bit, but it's still behind a paywall instead of being free. Right. So that's going to be an issue. But yeah, those are my two cents on that.
Okay, well, let's keep it mainly to the Fox Sports era, okay? Let's keep it to mainly 2018. And I'll ask you again, as an MMA fan, DJ Tony, how did you find 2018? And then, of course, we run an MMA show every week or whenever there's an event. So did you find it hard to stay interested in everything that the UFC was putting out last year?
No, and I'll tell you why. Some of the cards, especially the ones that you say – aren't meant for us, right? Well, Dana White has said that, right? Some of those, yeah, certainly. There were some of those cards where I know Pam is going to tell you that she gets up and watches it. I can't. I literally can't. I mean, there's no possible way for my own sanity. So did I find it a challenge? Yeah, but you know what? We also had those times where we had good amount of breaks, right? Like we have in the last couple of weeks where there aren't any fights in the next couple or 2 or 3 weeks. And then I missed it. But you need those breaks in order to miss something, in my opinion.
Sure.
Yeah, I thought it was oversaturation in 2018.
Oh, okay, Pam. And same kind of question to you as well. You know, did you find it hard to stay engaged with everything that was going on as an MMA fan? Did you do you think that, you know, the UFC having to provide so much content to the Fox Sports was a good thing, or did you find a little fatigue through 2018?
Well, did they have to or did they want to in order to
not lose the
Fox audience? Do you know what I mean? But some of the fights, I thought it was a little oversaturation because, you know, and I was reading a comment earlier on Twitter, and I was like, man, that makes perfect sense. But all these fights that are back-to-back, it kind of took away the, like the luster of the previous fight because you're all, okay, wait, can you remember who fought in November?
Right, exactly.
I mean, do you know, because it was like you're talking about, oh, my God, this fight was so amazing, and then another fight comes on top of that. And then you forget about the amazing fight that you just saw because you're watching something else. And then another fight comes, so you know. So I think a little bit in that part, it was a little oversaturation. Did I hate it? No, I didn't hate it because I love watching my fights. But I truly like the breaks in between because I can get stuff done. I've got a costume that I need to work on that I've got time I can work on it because there aren't fights this weekend, so we're working on a costume this weekend. All in all, I think that it was fun, but at the same time, I think that they needed that oversaturation to gain followers because Tony said a lot of people think that it is a barbaric sport, and it is, but is it more so than hockey, more so than football? I mean, you know, you've got basketball players out there getting in fights now, so, you know, really, what's barbaric now?
As for me, guys, as I mentioned at the top of this question, I did find it a little bit hard as a long-time MMA fan, a long-time UFC fan especially. I just found that it was, as you mentioned, Pam, hard to embrace, somebody's great win. Let's say Max Holloway. Yeah, there was a break in between that particular fight card and UFC 232, but there wasn't supposed to be a break. There was supposed to be another fight card in between. And yes, the news cycle just moves so fast nowadays. Thank you, Cedric. It's incredible how fast the news cycle just flies by. And of course, anytime the UFC messes up or maybe, you know, just like Anthony Smith had some great wins, you know, moving up a weight class. But are we really still talking about Anthony Smith? The only reason we're talking about him is because he's rumored to be fighting, or he is signed to fight John Jones at UFC 235. So it's just like that kind of thing, that any accomplishment that came up got buried because there's a fight card that, you know, we have to talk about the next week. And again, the news cycle is just moving so fast. And of course, I wanted to bring up yet again that the Empire has not come out in the whole time of their ownership and said anything to the MMA fan. They just signing contracts, sending Dana White out there to be the guy, the talking head. And of course, as we know, we can't trust anything that comes out of Lord Dana's mouth because he's shown us that we shouldn't trust anything that comes out of his mouth. Now, was the Fox era good for the UFC? In my opinion, double-edged sword. Thank you, DJ Tony. Because I think the one thing that I've stated on this show before is that the Empire really isn't thinking long-term. They're really thinking very short-sighted. Where can we go to survive? You know, we owe so much dang money. we need to jump and hop to the next person who's giving out that big money. And at the end of 2018, we saw how their allegiance to Fox Sports was not there. I mean, yes, they had a long contract with them, and they probably served each other well for a while. But, you know, as soon as we knew that that Fox was no longer going to be the provider of the ESPN or of the UFC, the ESPN was going to be, as I said, this card that's coming up next week was pulled. You know, Cejudo Dillashaw was pulled and put onto a more advantageous spot for ESPN. And, of course, we'll get into that in a minute because I'm not really happy with this ESPN plus Jazz. So, overall, yes, I'm happy with what happened with Fox Sports. I feel the pain of the MMA fan in that it's becoming more and more expensive for us to be MMA fans. You know, back when there was 6 pay-per-views a year and, you know, a card every now and then, we didn't have to spend all that much money and we could get excited about cards. Remember how excited we were about Max Holloway? You know, and how excited we were about this John Jones Gustafson fight? That's because we had some build-up time. We were, as Tony said, we were allowed to miss the top-notch MMA. And that's another thing. You know, I understand the UFC trying to be everything to everybody and try and run a regional program at the same time as they're running the top end of the sport. But it's just a little too much right now. And I think it's, there's no real cohesion of, yes, this is the plan, this is how we're moving forward. And I'm not too sure. And like I've talked to, I think I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago when I was in Toronto, and I talked to many MMA media, not just John Morgan, but all many MMA media, and I said to them the same question. And everybody was in the same kind of feeling that the sport has changed, and it's hard for all media outlets to maintain interest. So that's my thoughts on that, and I want to pivot to what's coming up in 2019, since we kind of put 2018 to bed. And of course, at the end of this, hopefully, if we have time permitting, we're going to get to fight of the year, and maybe story of the year if we have time permitting. But I want to move on while we have this conversation flowing, Pam. I want to move on to the ESPN era. Okay, now we are in 2019. We've had a couple of weeks off. And, of course, as we know, next week we will be getting a kind of super fight, if you will, because, you know, we have the 135-pound champ coming down to face the 125-pound champ. And, of course, TJ Dillashaw and Henry Cejudo coming up on Saturday, January 19th. And this, of course, is going to be aired on ESPN. Well, let's not say that. It's going to be on ESPN Plus. Now, so my first question to you, Pam, and of course to Tony, is what do you think this move to ESPN will be like for the sport? Will it help the sport being, you know, on the biggest media provider? Because I believe ESPN down there is the biggest media provider, sports media provider. Will the visibility help the sport, Pam? What are your thoughts on the ESPN era?
Okay. Well, I think what's going to happen with that is I think with this move, they're losing a lot of their hardcore fans, and this is being marketed towards the casual fan base. Because, I mean, if you think of ESPN, what's the first thing you think of? Football. You know, anyway, that's the first thing I think of is football. So I think that you're catering to, a lot of the casual fans that are, hey, dude, come over. Let's watch this fight. And because now what you have now are money fights. Money fights take the precedence over titles and rankings. You know, nobody cares about titles. Everybody wants to see a money fight. And I think that's what it's going to be. And I'll make a case in a little while. But and I think, Produce, you know what I'm talking about. But that's what they're going to do. It's going to be all money fights, and I think we're going to slowly but surely see, you know, the rankings just are not going to mean anything.
Okay, so Tony, Pam brings up an interesting point, because in the Fox era, we did bring in the rankings. Of course, we brought those rankings in in order to make it easier for that casual fan, so that they could see that, you know, just like football or any other sport that's provided on Fox Sports has a ranking system, and, you know, one versus two and et cetera, et cetera. So your thoughts on that, and of course, also your thoughts on what you think ESPN era will be like for the UFC moving forward.
Well, the rankings are a joke, right? So
we know
I don't know
yeah.
how to go through that, because just like anything else, whether it's any other sport, and we really can't compare MMA to any other sport except for boxing, because there are promotions. There isn't a governing body per se. There isn't a commissioner, et cetera. So I don't – every single time someone tries to compare it to that, I just don't – I just can't go there. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But the rankings have been a complete joke. There's – you have espoused on merit – I said rankings.
It sounds like you said a ranking, which is –
Yeah, you also said that I didn't say that Ali Malay was hot, which I did on the show. But I think the rankings are – or the wankings, maybe might be a wanker, right? Because they're a joke. It's not on meritocracy. Mm-hmm. It's on whomever they like at that point in time. And
exactly.
I do realize that all fighters need to, just like we do with our employers, we need to play nice. Otherwise, we don't get renewed or we don't get a contract, et cetera. But the rankings are a complete joke. We realize that. And as the quicker we know that, the better it is. And everybody else does rankings, right? I mean, it's and no one follows them anyway. So it doesn't mean anything. But in terms of what you asked me about ESPN, or rather the UFC going to ESPN, honestly, it's going to be a little bit of a headache until they get it right. Because why are the better fights on ESPN Plus? And I understand they want subscribers, right? But the better fights are on ESPN Plus. So again, we go into the thing where more people, the larger audience, is going to watch the prelims than they are any other UFC on ESPN events. Not the UFC on ESPN Plus, but the UFC on ESPN. So I think it's going to be a little bit of the debacle till they get it right. The bigger thing for me, Proteus, will be they got to stop doing these interruptions of, you know, baseball. And I love baseball, right? But baseball, there are 162 games in baseball. 162 games. You're telling me that a game versus, I don't know, and I love the Giants, so let's get that straight, right? But the Giants versus the A's are going to be a bigger draw than, you know, than Lewis versus Frank Mir, for lack of, you know, I couldn't think of another name. I don't think so. So I think we'll find out what's going to happen, but I think that's going to be an obstacle, Proteus. I really do.
Okay,
can I
so
add something
to
that real quick?
Sure, go quick. Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to know
my
also.
Point down, so you go ahead.
I'm sorry. I had forgotten this. I actually wrote everything down, and I forgot this point. I was like, what kind of analysts are they going to have? I mean, are they going to have people that really know their stuff? Or are we going to get some Skip Bayless kind of dude that has his head up his ass?
Okay, so that's a good point as well, and we'll talk about that in a second, Pam. You guys speaking about the rankings really brought up another thing that, you know, was highlighted in 2018, if I may, and if I may go back to it. And you guys were talking about big money fights, and, you know, Tony, you said whoever is at the forefront of the UFC's interest is going to get the fights. Like, we have two interim title fighters that have interim belts that are no longer the interim title holders, and both got screwed out of being next in line. Of course, Pam, I know you've got your heart is in with Colby Covington, and of course, El Kakui, also being an interim champ, gets injured, gets stripped. This is the kind of thing that does not look good on the sport. And I was listening to a Joe Rogan Experience this morning, and they were talking about boxing and how if we keep having bad decisions in boxing, that's going to be bad for the sport. I think this kind of stuff, guys, is bad for the sport. I think you give the guy who you wanted to give the chance to fight for the title, to be that interim champ, they're walking around with belts. what do the belts mean if these guys are walking around with belts and you just strip them of them? You're not going to give him, you're not going to give Colby Covington the next shot against Tyron Woodley. Why not? He's got a belt. Kamaru Usman does not have a belt, yet he's getting the fight. Yep. It just doesn't make sense to me, guys. It doesn't make sense, and these kinds of things, I think, hurt the sport, hinder the sport. And, okay, let's talk about ESPN. The move to ESPN, I called this. I knew the UFC wanted to go to ESPN. I think they think that this is a higher-end entity for them to be on. Now, as Tony brings up, will these fights actually be airing on ESPN proper? No. In the first quarter, there were only two fight cards scheduled to be on ESPN proper. The rest, in the first quarter of 2019, are scheduled to be on ESPN Plus. And as Tony had mentioned, I understand that they're trying to sell subscriptions to their service, to the streaming service, which brings me right back full circle to it's expensive to be an MMA fan. Not only is it expensive to be an MMA fan, but you're going to have to go through all the hoops again. Are we still going to have Fight Pass? Are they still going to be Fight Pass prelims? So you're going to have Fight Pass. Then you're going to have to move the ESPN proper for the, as Tony had mentioned, the prelims. And why are the prelims going to be on ESPN proper? Do you not want the most eyeballs on the main card? Apparently not. Apparently, you want everybody else, again, to spend more money, just like they had to do with the Fox era. You've got to pay that extra money to get that extra package or that extra streaming service now, as we have ESPN Plus, to watch the main events. It's ridiculous, guys. And like you said, DJ Tony, is going to be a mess for the first little while, and I just don't know if the sport can handle something like this again. You know, like Pam said, they're losing their fans that were used to watching it on Fox Sports. Maybe not everybody knows that it's moving to ESPN. Maybe not everyone knows that it's moved to ESPN Plus. Casual fans don't know these things, and especially if you've got fans all over the world, right? It maybe make it easier for certain people in certain countries that can't get ESPN. It may be easier for them to get the streaming service, ESPN Plus, and watch the fights there. I don't know. I don't know what the strategy is because I haven't really heard. All we know is that they've got this streaming platform and they want to push it because that's how people are consuming nowadays. But Tony, I don't know if, like you said, I don't know if putting this content behind a paywall is the correct way to do it. And of course, are we going to have problems with streaming? You know what I mean, Tony? Like we've seen the Bellator on the DAZN, they've had problems with the streaming. We can't have this. You know what I mean? We can't have problems with, fights go missing or the fight is delayed and people are paying attention on Twitter and then they find out the results and they're not interested anymore, right? The attention span of the regular person in this world today is very, very limited. And I think if the rollout is not done correctly, Pam and Tony, on ESPN Plus, I just don't think that people are going to buy ESPN Plus when they are expecting these fights to be on ESPN proper. Just for me, Pam, you and I had a conversation maybe last week about, you know, do I have Fight Pass? Am I going to get ESPN Plus? Neither. I'm not going to do either. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to chase the UFC around to three different places so that I can watch their content. I'm just not going to do that. And I'm a long-term fan. I think it's ridiculous that I have to go to three different places to watch one fight card. Mm-hmm. Anybody want to weigh in? Because I'm on my soapbox.
Oh, no. Well, what I thought, and I don't know if this is true, I don't know if I had read it or somebody had said it. I don't know. But I thought that, because I don't know, does ESPN Plus completely replace Fight Pass?
I don't know. That's the thing. We don't
know. But I thought that I had read that if you already had Fight Pass and you were getting the ESPN Plus thing, that they were offering some kind of discount so that Fight Pass is going to be $4.99. So even still, if you got the plus, the ESPN plus, you were still only paying $10 a month.
No, that was pure conjecture before anything was announced. Yeah, so
okay. But, because I had Paul looking all that stuff, because I'm not a techie, so Paul's got to do all that stuff for me because I get impatient. I'm like, just fucking do it. But from what I understand, he was saying that you are going to be able to watch the pre-fights and the fights and the pay-per-views on the ESPN Plus. And whatever site that he was looking at, it's not $4.99. It was like $7.99. So it's not $4.99.
It was $4.99.
Oh, you get Thunder Dolphins and Bitcoin.
Wait, Tony.
It was $4.99 if you bought it for the year, and that was prior to 2019. I don't know. I haven't signed up yet, and I will, unfortunately, because there is some content out there. The problem is, you and I spoke about this too, right? Am I going to continue to keep both? Sooner or later, Proteus, it doesn't make a difference whether you're a baller or whether you're not a baller. Sooner or later, you're going to price some people out. And if you're paying $10 a month for DAZN, if you're paying $10 a month for Fight Pass, if you're paying another $5 for ESPN Plus, and oh, by the way, you're still paying $65 for every pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And you have to carry not only, ESPN is owned by Disney, but you have to carry the extended packages, I believe, in order to get ESPN Plus, rather ESPN 2 and ESPN Classic, I think. Don't quote me on that.
Right.
So sooner or later, it's going to price people out. And I'm to the point where I don't know if I want to pay for everything, to be honest.
Yeah, and again, it brings me back to my point of these old companies that have been making – these old media companies that have been making money the way that they've been making money for years and years and years are trying to jump on board this streaming service programming that the kids are all about. And I don't think that they're doing it correctly. I think that they're still trying to cash in as much as they can whenever they can. And like you just said, Tony, they're going to price people out. I mean, we've talked to people on this show, you know, fans and hardcores alike, that are just like, it's just too much, man. I just can't spend the money on.
Well, let me throw something else in there.
Yeah.
Hey, Tony, do you drink? Who drinks coffee? Are y'all coffee drinkers?
Yep.
I'm an avid coffee drinker, Pammy.
Okay. How much do you spend on coffee a day? You go to Starbucks and buy a coffee. How much does a coffee cost you?
I grind my own beans and make my own coffee. Sorry.
I go to Starbucks.
How much does a coffee cost you?
Like $2.50 around there.
Like how many coffees do you have a day? You're a liar if it's $2.50 a coffee. Cállate.
No, the drip. Drip is not expensive. Drip is not expensive.
Okay, say you buy two. How many times a day you'll get a coffee?
Well, I get a free refill because I'm a gold member.
Okay, oh my god.
I know.
Okay, say, okay, you know, how many people go, and even still, okay, say people that go and buy a pack of cigarettes. That's, I don't even know how much cigarettes are, $7-$8, I don't know. Okay,
yeah,
say,
something like that.
Okay, that's your ESPN money for the month, pack of cigarettes, a cup of coffee. You know, me, I'll go and Trader Joe's and buy a little container of dark chocolate chip or peanut butter
right,
cups or whatever. I mean, I'm not trying to be funny, but I'm going to say, if you kind of look at it in that sense, and it's like, all right, you know, for a month of entertainment, okay, that's not bad.
Yeah, and you know what?
You know, because I'd rather keep, truthfully, I'm such a homebody at home and watch fights than go out. Because if you go, say, well, you know, people will say, I'm going to Wild Wings to watch a fight. Okay, you go watch a fight, and then you have
$100.
Two, three beers and your hot wings and whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, you could have watched your Fight Pass at home or your pay-per-view at home. I mean, that's the way I look at it. Are they nickel and diming us to death? Yes, but so is every damn body else. And if I'm going to be nickel and dimed to death, at least I want to enjoy being nickel and dimed.
Yeah, when I think, you know, if I, wanna, I think it's a, it's all about your outlook, right? Because Pam,
I can see both sides. I can see both sides because it is costly. Okay, you know, 2 pay-per-views a month, that, you know, $100 and some, and, you know, plus a lot, like with us, we're doing Fight Pass, you know, that's $10 a month. And, you know, so I get both sides, but I'm looking at like, okay, you know what? I could go get a hot chocolate, and a hot chocolate's going to cost me $4. And, you know, and this stuff is costing me $5, you know, a month of entertainment. So it has its positives and its negatives.
I'm of another thinking because I'd rather just stay at home, make myself my own coffee, you know, buy a bag of beans that it's going to last me. And,
how
you know,
much does
a month,
coffee
month
beans
and a half.
Cost you?
It cost me $8. $8 for,
okay,
for a bag of beans, and that lasts me, you know, 2 months. I'm of the viewpoint that there is water torture as well, and that's one drop of water hitting your head.
Yeah.
You know, and eventually it gets too much and you crack. And you know, we need to move on from this topic, but it's just getting to a point where I think they're losing the general audience. I think to just put this a bow on the ESPN deal, I think it's going to be very good for the sport that the fights will be on regular rotation. And DJ Tony is just confirming that the price is $4.99 in the U.S. So there you go. That's confirmed. I think that it's just getting to a point where, you know, being on ESPN, and like you said, Tony, if you want to have any of the other channels, you've got to pay extra. It's going to be good that these fights are going to filter down and become, you know, part of the lexicon, so to speak, of ESPN's content. And yes, instead of maybe poker, which nobody is watching anymore, I don't think, you're going to get an MMA fight, and that's going to be, you know, 6 hours of content, which is going to be great for ESPN. But again, I don't know about you guys, but I don't really go back and watch a lot of old fights because that's why I don't have Fight Pass. But there is an audience for Fight Pass, so there is an audience for older fights, and maybe that'll become something. Maybe they package it in. Maybe you know, fights Friday night after hours. I don't know. They have to get creative with it, I think, guys. And it's going to be good in the long run for the USC to be on ESPN. But I think you need to be putting a lot more fight cards on ESPN proper and not so much on the streaming set. Streaming service, because again, you can watch, you can buy pay-per-views on Fight Pass, you can buy and Fight Pass has all kinds of different unique options. You can, you can watch from the corner, any corner that you want, you can watch from the ref's point of view or whatever. They've got different options for you to do on there. And I think, again, as I've said on the show before, they dropped the ball and not making just Fight Pass being the end all be all streaming service for the UFC. Okay, guys, let's pivot a bit and get into some of our awards for this particular year, 2018.
All right, There it is.
We're getting right up against it here, guys. So I wanted to go ahead and start with the fight of the year, guys, because I think this one is going to be kind of different for all of us. And I think that, you know, picking a fight of the year is a little bit easier than, well, I mean, there have been some spectacular fighters of the year, but Pam, let's start with you. Do you have a fight of the year that you can pull back on and say, this is the fight of the year for me?
I do, and I mean, it's going to be like so cliche because I truthfully, I mean, there were so many great fights throughout the year. I mean, so many great fights, some not so great, but there was a lot of good stuff out there, but truthfully, and not because this is fresh in my mind, but I got to go with fight of the year. I'm going to say it's going to Nunes because she did what people said that could not, you know, she said that couldn't, you know, she basically, did you ever see that movie Excalibur, that old movie Excalibur with Merlin and everything? This chick basically pulled the sword from the stone. She did what people said could not be done. And in amazing fashion. So, you know, I got to give it to her.
Let's talk about this one for a second, Pam, because I made the mistake of walking into an establishment while the fights were going on. And I don't know if I told you guys, but I had a viewing party the next day with a couple of friends of mine. And I walked into the establishment, and within, 58 seconds, the fight was over. I was like, well, not only did that ruin that fight for me, but, the person who was serving me was like, oh, I missed all of the fight. And I said, you didn't miss nothing. she got it done in 58 seconds. You know, that was dominating. That was exactly what it was. But, yes, to your point, Amanda Nunes did something that no one had ever done before, she was not afraid of Cyborg. She went right at her. DJ Tony, you got any thoughts on this one real quickly before we move on?
Yeah, just a reminder, and Pam's right. What Amanda Nunes did was incredible, and kudos to her. She deserves it. She's beaten everyone they've placed in front of her that she has fought. But keep in mind, this wasn't Holly Holm versus Ronda Rousey. Nunes was a plus 195. That's not everyone thinking she can't do it.
True.
That's people thinking, ooh, it's going to be tough. And Cyborg was only a minus 250. This is at the time right before the fight. Like, these are the odds that Bovada posted the fight night. So it wasn't that no one thought it was. It would be cool, but it's going to be a hard task. And unfortunately for Cyborg, everyone has to lose. And Amanda Nunes kicked her rear.
Right.
So my fight of the year, because I think you're going to ask me.
Yes, sir.
Are you?
I am.
So Ferguson versus Pettis.
Okay.
Ferguson versus Pettis.
Yeah, that was a great fight.
If someone's going to choose that, how about Yair versus the Korean zombie?
That was the elbow of my fight.
That's my fight of the night. I wanted to talk about your fight of the night or your fight of the year.
Can I throw something in real quick?
Hang on 1 second, Pam.
Go ahead.
That Ferguson versus Pettis fight was excellent. And Pam, what do you have to say? Do you have something to say about the Ferguson-Pettis fight?
Just real quick. I just wanted to say, what we were talking about the fight. So I just wanted to say what a gracious opponent that Chris Cyborg was afterwards,
Absolutely.
And I thought it was funny how she was mocking Ronda Rousey when she walked out with that pillow. I thought that was hysterical.
I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to get into that too much because I want to rewind that next weekend when we talk about the whole card. So let's not get into it too much. I want to talk about Pettis versus El Kakui. So what was great about it for you, Tony? Why did you pick this fight as your fight?
I just thought, listen, Ferguson coming back from a horrific knee injury, and he looked good. He had a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. He still is weird because, Tony Ferguson is a strange, odd person, but he's definitely odd.
Yeah.
But I just thought Pettis, listen, this is not the same Pettis, whether it's pre, non-audit, or whatever it is, but Pettis fought that fight. He gave it his all. And I think sometimes Pettis, I think, quits, in my opinion, sometimes on fights. This one, luckily, the corner said that's it. And obviously he wanted out, and he said, oh, my hand's broken, I'm out. But honestly, he would have gotten his butt kicked a little worse if they had not stopped it.
Well, I think in this particular fight, Tony, what I liked was the fact that the corner did stop it. They did step in and say, no, we're not going to push you any further. We're not going to risk any more extra injury to our fighter. That's a broken hand, and that can only just get worse. So that's what stood out to me in this fight. Great fight, like you said, coming back from that injury really quickly and looking as impressive as he did. Fantastic. You mentioned it already, Tony. My fight of the year is the El Pantera versus the Korean Zombie fight. Those guys went right up until the last 2 seconds of that particular fight.
That was awesome.
Joe Rogan was out of his seat yelling and screaming. And, of course, El Pantera pulling out that finish that we've never seen before. The no-look elbow, and, of course, Cowboy Cerrone giving him props for that. Just an excellent finish, and you got to give it that fight of the year. Okay, guys, let's move quickly because we are, as I said, swiftly running out of time. Let's get your fighters of the year. DJ Tony, let's start with you since we started with Pam on the fight of the year. What you got?
Pam, I'm not taking your fighter of the year, and it's well-deserved.
Okay.
But I will, unfortunately, tick off my friend, who I love, Proteus, because my fighter of the year is the one and only DC, Daniel Cormier. Not only does, like
that.
Pam was saying, not only does he handle everything with class, and he does, but the guy beat Stipe. That's crazy, guys. And the guy is a two-division title holder. What he did in 2018, beating, you know, one of our favorites, my balls was hot, Derek Lewis, beating Volkan Ozdemir, beating Stipe. Sorry, guys, he defended his belt. He moved up. He defended that belt. Props to DC, Daniel Cormier. My fighter of the year.
Fighter of the year, Pam?
I love DC. That's a good pick. I love DC. If I wasn't going to pick my fighter, that's who I would pick because I think that DC is the epitome of class. I think he is just amazing, and I think one of my favorite moments was when he did beat Stipe, and it shows that picture of it shows him with his arms wide open and looking towards John Anik. And then John Anik's got the same. It was just such an amazing night for him, and I just think he's amazing. But my fighter, of course, I'm going with my girl Amanda because, like I said, I think that she's been so underpromoted, and she has beaten everybody that Dana has put in front of her. I think because I don't think he really favors her that well because she doesn't fit the prototype that he wants and. And she, I think she's just amazing. And like I've told you guys before, she just keeps getting better and better and better. And I just love
real
her.
Real good. Yeah, and of course, you know, Anoon's just having the two fights this year. Back in May, of course, defending her 135 title against Rocky Pennington. And of course, the performance of the night on just recently at UFC 232. Against Chris Cyborg. I think myself, Pam, I think I'm, as much as DJ Tony thinks I'm not going to agree with him, as I've said before on this program, you can't take anything away from the performance in the octagon that Daniel Cormier has been able to do this year. You know, as you mentioned, DJ Tony defending his light heavyweight title, moving up to heavyweight, winning the championship there against the most winningest heavyweight champion of all time in Stipe Miocic. And then, of course, defending the belt against My Balls Is Hot on short notice, which, of course, as I said, was, you know, just for Daniel Cormier to get another win and defend the belt. But having said all that, I do have to give him the fighter of the year. There's just no other fighter that I can see that has, you know, done what he has done this year. You just can't take anything away from his performances in the octagon. Whether I like him as a person or not, it's not, got nothing to do with his performances inside the octagon. So I will, too, give him the performance, the fighter of the year. Now, quickly, Pam, you did mention earlier on about...
There's a little snake in the grass right there. Hey, little boy.
I like that one. Touche. The commentary team moving forward on ESPN. And, of course, we know that Jimmy Smith has not been re-signed to the UFC. And from all accounts, from what we're hearing, is that they're going to go with fighters being in that position. We know from the Joe Rogan podcast that Joe Rogan is only doing UFC pay-per-views in America. So he is not doing anything else but the pay-per-views. So that leaves a huge gaping hole there. You know, as much as I like DC, as much as I like, sorry, all of the other names of the people are eluding me right now that fill in that in that position.
Paul Felder.
Yes, exactly. Paul Felder, of course, and
Dominic
of course
Cruz.
Dominic Cruz. I don't know, guys, if that's something that we want to do there, right? If Joe Rogan's only doing the pay-per-views, who are we going to get sitting in that position? Maybe we get to see our Fighter of the Year, DC, in that position. So let's move along real quickly, guys.
Okay.
Before we get out of here, I've got one more question for you. It's story of the year in 2018. Is there a story of the year, guys, that you can come off the top of your head that you got? Go ahead, Pam, since you've got a story.
Okay.
Go ahead. What you got?
Well, of course, the crown jewel goes to the fiasco that was 232, moving an entire venue for a fighter that couldn't get sanctioned by Las Vegas, you know, leaving fans stranded in Vegas with no tickets and no apologies.
Yeah, that was definitely a major issue, a major story. Talking to John Morgan about it, he said, you know what, man, it's just another day, another dollar. Luckily, the media didn't have to go that far. We know that Luke Thomas had a problem with it because he just couldn't move everything. You know, it's expensive for him to fly out, blah, blah, blah. The local guys, the local people who cover it from Vegas, John said it wasn't a big deal. You know, we just had to fly to California. I got to see my family one last day, basically is what he was saying. So, yeah, it was big, but it was definitely big for the fans. And, of course, Pam, as we've said in the past, you know, the UFC is not very good at paying back the fans. I mean, how long did it take Calgary to get that replacement card that the UFC so longly pronounced that they were going to put there in Calgary? It took like 2 years. And, of course, how do you pay back the fans? You can't. You can't bring everybody back to that bought a ticket and say, hey, everybody that bought a ticket, yeah, this is for you. You can't do it. So, yeah, good story. DJ Tony, do you have a storyline of the year that you want to bring to us?
Not only do I have a storyline of the year, Proteus and Pam, but I have a storyline that may change the entire sport, and that's the trade of Demetrius Johnson.
Yeah, good one.
2-1
oh, yeah.
For Ben Askren, because I think it's going to open up the doors for a lot more things. We've already seen Bellator, which they already have, by the way, allowing their fighters, Emily Ducote, et cetera, to fight in other promotions. They've done that with Pride, with King Mo, et cetera. Pride. You know what I mean. Ryzen.
Yeah,
my bad.
Ryzen.
But same thing. But, yeah, to me, that's the biggest thing. That trade is going to open up a lot of doors and hopefully do the best thing for the sport.
Yeah, and, of course, as you were talking about, we saw on the New Year's Eve Risen card that they did have a Bellator versus Risen championship. I believe it was at 125 pounds. And, of course, the Risen champ, his name is eluding me right now. I do apologize, guys, but he was in the UFC, fought Demetrius Johnson, and probably – at this particular point in time, I think would give Demetrius the best fight. Of course, he fought him already. I cannot remember his name. Japanese fella. Man, it's
Horiguchi.
Horiguchi. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
So we did see that, and of course, hopefully, we get to see Horiguchi go to Bellator and that go back and forth. It's interesting. It's something new for the sport. Good storyline, DJ Tony. Now, my storyline of the year is, of course, going to be, as I mentioned earlier on, the lack of interest in interim titles. You give a guy an interim title, you strip him, and, of course, that brings us back to how the rankings mean absolutely positively nothing. You know, if you piss off the wrong people or if you get injured, apparently, that interim title gets stripped away from you. If you decide that you, like Colby Covington, he wanted to have a nasal surgery and he wanted to push back the fight, I think it was 3 weeks or 4 weeks, maybe a month, he gets stripped. And now he's done all of this legwork that the UFC says that he needs to do to become, make himself a star. And then now it means nothing. It's thrown out the window. If he loses his next fight, he's got to start all the way back at the beginning again. That's my storyline of the year, guys. We need to stop this BS. Okay, DJ Tony, run that music. Let's get us out of here for this week. Thank you all very much for tuning in to This Week in MMA. We appreciate everyone that listens to this show. 3 years running and strong.
Yay!
Free content,
that's
ladies
so
and
cool.
gentlemen. All right, Pam, let's throw to you. You got a Twitter follow. Do you have a guilty pleasure of the week?
You know
what?
You know what? My Twitter follow is going to be in... You know, come at me. I don't care. You know, follow Colby Covington. That's what's up. Because I think that they really did him dirty, and I don't like it.
All right, DJ Tony, let's throw to you. Do you have a guilty pleasure? Do you have a Twitter follow of the week? What you got?
You know what? Pam actually gave me a new one. How about this? So I'm not a Colby Covington fan. I do think he's playing a role. I don't think he's as bad as he claims to be. But I'm sorry, you can't tell your boss to F off. We've already seen that. And I don't think that's going to go very well for him. But with that in mind, Pam, and you know Proteus and I, follow Colby Covington's sister. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean literally
so
follow
pretty.
Her sister.
Yep.
She is a hottie hottie 2x4. So
pretty.
We follow her
mm-hmm.
at Can, C-A-N, Dance. Her name is Candace, right? But it's Can Dance _ C. You want to follow her. Trust me.
Yeah. And DJ Tony, you have pointed that out to us once before on the show last year, but I'm glad you brought it up again. Okay, guys, I'm going to introduce a new segment. Marco introduced Guilty Pleasures of the Week last year. I'm going to introduce Proteus's Shower Tunes. This may not happen every week, but it's a tune that is being stuck in my head and that I've been playing in the shower first thing in the morning. And this week, I'm giving you guys Elf Tower, New Mexico off of Coheed and Cambria's first album. Second Stage Turbine Blade. It is a B-side, so if you're looking for it on your album and you don't have the first cut, the first release of that album, you won't be able to find it. However, find it on the YouTubes, Elf Tower, New Mexico. I love it. Okay, guys, I'm going to get us out of here. I'm going to be Marco this week. Follow Pam at Pandora Box. Follow Tony at I'm DJ Tony. Follow Proteus at Proteus, Proados. Of course, rate and review MFs. We need the comments because that's how we rise up in the rankings, the standings on iTunes. They've changed it. It's an algorithm now. Who knows? All right, guys, let's go ahead and get ourselves out of here. Thank you all very much again for listening. And Pam, just like that.
We are out of here. Bye.
See y'all next week.
Shout out to Cedric.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.